Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire, and we are back with episode 17 of the KTOD Radio Podcast, your competitive Star Wars Unlimited podcast. I'm here with the rest of the KTOD, my brother in arms, in top four at our local 1K yesterday, Justin Desai. What's up, Justin?
Got all this loot, so we're going to spend it on I don't know what, but we're winning.
I knew what I was going to spend mine on if I won. I was like 5 and I was thinking about it. I'm like, I'm going to get this. I was going to get like a sick Wolverine cosplay from Deadpool 3 and like use that for Halloween. They're like $300. And then the only one of us who didn't show up at the 1K yesterday, KTOD Golfing Greens, Maddie.
What up, boys? Yeah, was too busy taking down my own tournament. Won a charity scramble that I've been going to for a few years. I've always wanted my name on the trophy, and I finally got it. I'll have to post a picture with the trophy because it's epic and massive, but I did not bring it home with me. So Golf and Greens, baby. Shout out to the Shuffled Fate.
Yeah, that's Juliet's favorite song on Shuffled Fate. And then my other brother in arms with the Blu-ray, Stevie Getz.
Yes, sir. What it do? Did not top eight yesterday. For what it's worth, I thought our deck was pretty spot on. I was like happy with where we were. I just played like a numpty as usual.
Yeah, I liked where the list was at. We'll certainly talk about it today. We're going to start by talking about our KTOD draft hang and make sure that everyone who follows us or subscribes or one of subscribes knows that we're going to do that for every set. So you can definitely, when we plan set threes, you can think about coming. In a perfect world, I imagine like, you know, small groups of people even like flying up and hanging out for the weekend and like going to the draft hang. So that's cool. We're going to talk about the control meta that's here. Tons of events, just so many events over the last 2 weeks, including our 1K. We'll talk about that experience. And then we're 3 weeks out till PQs. The final PQ tickets went on sale yesterday. They sold out in 10 minutes. I had an alarm set on my phone. I used my plot armor to get them to stop the tournament so a bunch of us could sign up. And yeah, I'll be driving down to Jersey for the first PQ of the year. And then we're going to answer a couple amazing listener questions. Like the ones that we have queued up for today are actually like super sick. Real quick, we've been putting out a lot of content, about 2 videos a week. We might, you know, clip part of this podcast as like a meta clip, which we sometimes do. But we're putting out a weekly gameplay as well as like just other cool content like Steve's Cube and the Blu-ray deck that we played yesterday. So check out our content if you haven't been.
And I've block got party hitting stores next week, right? I think on Monday, you guys, the Patreon is known about the block party, but the rest of you get to see what that's all about.
Do you want to say what it is? So people actually
know. I'm still waiting for my invite.
Bro, it's Blue Hero Boba block party. Let's get it. Yeah. Sentinels.
I just don't. You got to tell the listeners that. Steve should know, but you got to tell the listeners that.
Yeah, but I thought it was a mystery.
Block party. Like Crescent
Drive.
No, it's
just a deck that I was smacking people with on, you know.
All right, Justin, what were you saying about your content?
So I played Sabine yesterday, but I was this close to playing Red Cad, and I want to get a Red Cad video out to everyone. I've kind of been locked in Sabine jail because the deck's been so strong, just like focusing on that. But finally I found something that has some real promise, so excited to get that out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, be looking for that after the 10-5 PQ. Yeah.
Right. Well, the other thing I was going to say, too, is like, in addition to, I know we're on the draft hang slide, but like in addition to the 2 a week, like we've been posting at least one Patreon video just to like any tier of Patreon, not even our, you know, in addition to our other podcast we do. But like, so in a week from Monday, right, my Kira update is going to drop. They've had that for, you know, for over 10 days now.
Part of our Patreon is getting early release videos. That's like a classic Patreon thing that we try and utilize as much as we can. Same with some of our Blu-ray content. Not that video, but others. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Content update. So we had a draft hangout where we invited anyone who's a subscriber to our Patreon to come to Bay State Brewery or Bay State Beer in Worcester, Massachusetts, our hometown. Shout out to our boy Caliber Nick on the right there in that middle picture, who whose in-laws run the place and were able to, you know, give us this sweet room that has a giant window that overlooks the hockey rink. It's got a bunch of arcade games. It was sick. We drafted at those round high tops, which was sick.
We had the NFL Network going, watching football.
Yep, you could see the Bengals, Pats game up in the background. And then when we had bought some cases, and, you know, traditionally, cases are one showcase per 2 cases. We had opened one whole case and 4 boxes of another case and not gotten a showcase. And we had those other two stashed, thinking there's probably a showcase in it. And then when the idea for the hangout came up, we were like, oh, well, we got to use those boxes because someone will get a showcase. And then Adam, sitting right next to me, ripped the Bosk, which was sweet.
Yeah, that was super cool. It was super cool. They had old school video arcades. Like, I want to rematch with the Street Fighter match. That my buttons were a little frozen. But Mike was able to beat me. But yeah, it was just great.
And like, Bison, baby.
Too apps good. And beers. And Bay State Brewery really took care of us.
Yeah, they did a great job.
And it was like cool to have the private room, but it wasn't like super crowded. You can see the picture in Maddie. Like, it was pretty wide open. You had like good access. You kind of move around. So really great day.
Yeah, it was incredible. I can't wait to keep doing them.
Yeah, one guy brought his wife, and like you could like just to hang out and have a drink, have lunch. The food was great. So yeah, if you're a subscriber or thinking about a subscriber, we're gonna do this for set three, and you and whomever are welcome to come and have a free draft on us.
But yeah,
and I think Steve bought some people drinks too, which was cool.
Yeah, I bought some people as well.
Oh, and then I ended up taking down the draft. We did two drafts, and then. Just combined the pods, played four rounds. I was able to beat Justin in the finals. We had a Cad Green mirror match in the finals.
Yeah, it was like I had the like budget version
of Mike.
You had like the absolute gas. Like I was playing like the best play, like the most demoralizing plays when I had like Dr. Evazon, and you had the 4-2 haste guy. Like the guy has zero power when. He attacks him.
Code chain.
And I was collector. Like, yeah, play code chain for free, basically, and kill my guy. And
Play something else. Yeah, I thought my deck was really good. And one card that I thought ended up being really, really good for me were the Smuggle tanks. I had two of them, and they just super made my late game strong because I was able to get ahead and then stay ahead behind those things.
They don't have removal. That's like that generates so much card advantage.
Yeah, the my six drops of like six drops of what did I have? I had Rencor and Fennec, but I had two of the tanks, Mercenary Company, and the Xanadu Blood, which is also really good.
Yeah, that card is solid.
So yeah all in all, just
an insane list.
It was great. It was fun. We played four rounds, and I think everyone had a good time. I mean, everyone got a bunch of free cards and free drinks and great food. So, and you could see the window into the hockey rink, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we can run it back with a bunch more people next time.
Oh yeah.
All right, we're gonna start just like touching on some of the events from 2 weeks ago. I know, like you probably watched 8,000 video recaps, but. I think it's important to address.
But none of them are like ours.
I think it's important to address the, you know, how the meta has evolved over the last 2 weeks, especially if we're going to talk about it in context of this week and upcoming weeks. But there were three. It was an SCG weekend in Tampa, so like three cash events: 1K on Friday and Sunday, and then a 2K on Saturday. And it was a big boba weekend with some Sabine sprinkled in and some control, of course. Did you guys have any thoughts coming out of that weekend?
For me, like, this is the week that kind of set in motion, I think, the meta that we're starting to kind of see now of, like, you know, one of the ways to attack Boba Yellow is to kind of go a little more into the control route and go deeper. And, like, if Kira has a good matchup against Boba, again, another good way to beat Kira is to go kind of later, and we're starting to see like grindier, more control things come out of the meta in response to, I think, what we saw here.
Yeah, Cad, just seeing Cad on the leaderboard was cool, kind of led me to exploring Cad, which got me to the red, sort of in a windy pathway there. Han Blue being a little bit less present, you see it in scattered here, but I know we had talked about it being like really big. And I think some of like the control decks that Maddie's talking about might be tricky for it. The villain ones could be just on the trickier side. And I don't think it's here, but there was that that blue Bosk.
We're going to talk about it in a second.
We talk about it later, Spain, yeah. But that was the one that really was like, oh, that's something new. Because nothing here really is new. I mean, Hondo Blue, as George has done that before. But the blue Bosk was the one that kind of piqued your interest a bit and said, oh, that's a little different.
Yeah, and so that
I will say. I will say, like, after seeing, you know, George do well with the Hondo, even though like I know that like that's kind of like, I know he's a good player, so it's like, is it pilot? Is it deck? It did make me go back and check that deck out again, and I have been impressed. Once you kind of know the lines at some of the things it can do.
Cool. And real quick, I did want to shout out Rebel Trader for holding a TTI Invitational. You know, he runs a monthly league, and he invited people who had done well across the league to play in a one-day tournament, which was really sweet. Won by Buku. I think it was Buku who took it down. He's the only Sabine ECL in the top eight. One of our subscribers, and it was fun watching that tournament throughout the day on the 7th and just sort of following along. I think it's a really cool way to do things. Like, Justin, Steve, you guys know from Star Wars CCG and the OCS, like, having the monthly league culminate in this, like, massive event at the end of the year is really, really sick. Love what Rebel Trader's doing, and I just want to make sure to shout him out because he does such a good job. It's something that is thankless and also catches a lot of crap from people, not because of his fault, but because of some of the conversations around his league.
Right.
But very cool event, and great to see Buku take it down, because Sabine Green is basically dead as a competitive list, as far as I can see.
And Mike,
RT's an MVP. Like, for him to do all that work to this community, I will say, like, I was way more interested in this type of event and following a full kind of Swiss event or a one-day tournament where you're locked into a deck, to me, is so much more interesting than some of the league stuff out there. That's just my personal take, because of the way that we play cards in that context. We don't really get to swap and stuff like that. So, like, this, I love this, and shout out to Buku. What a baller, just going out there and getting it done, and such a good member of our community. So
really, he's been super active in the Green Sabine chat, just like offering good insights, but also picking other people's brains. Going back to the Star Wars CCG OCS, in the very first one, the finals was me versus Mike. It was modeled after the Magic Online mocks.
That was the first one.
That was the first one. Yeah. We all top aided. I won, and then when they asked for the trophy information, I actually asked them to put my name, not my name, but instead inscribed KTOD, and to send out, at that time, we had four members for the Star Wars CCG KTOD, so everyone got a...
Yeah, I have it right here.
KTOD plaque, which is kind
of
sick.
Out of reach, but... I do have it.
It's one of my. I've won four out of the six.
Yeah, that's sick. But it, like, I agree. Like, it's not always fun to follow a league, and, like, you know, there are pluses and minuses to the way league play is when you're not locked in an event. But what I do like is, like, this meshing, right? Like, we're gonna run X amount of months, and if you show to, like, you know, do well over those months, it's gonna have a payoff in a very cool event. And I don't know if he gave away prizes, but we should see, and maybe get in on. I guess we can't sponsor it, but maybe we can, like, do something to support it because it's cool. Even if it's behind the scenes, yeah. Right. And then let's talk about that Spanish tournament that Justin mentioned was won by Blue Bosque. Mm-hmm. He went 12. So I think Limitless combined, I think the top eight is added into the record here, but he did win it all. I'm not really sure the format of the event, but it was 2-day. Everyone got a Fell the Dragon mat. They had uncut sheets of Star Wars Unlimited, which was truly insane. I didn't even know those existed. That really stepped us up to reach out to Asmodee this week and be like, wait, can we do this stuff too? So we're very interested in bringing this kind of event to America. And I do want to shout out El Valle del Jedi, because they did an amazing stream of both days. They have... a podcast. They make weekly videos. They are, like, from what I can tell, and I don't understand Spanish, so I can't really watch and get anything from them, but, like, they are doing sort of the same model as we are with content, only they're also going to these big events and live streaming. I think they're really great. The stream, I think you can obviously appreciate in whatever language, because they had an awesome overlay. But especially if you understand any Spanish, you should definitely check this channel out. They are great.
Use the closed caption. Boom.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, yeah, true. That could probably help. And I talked to these guys following the event. They were really helpful in, like, getting me the information and everything. And here's that Blue Bosque list that you mentioned, Justin.
I see.
Which is what has led us to, or one of the things, like, the big Boba weekend, as you said, Justin, for SEG, and then this winning Spain on the same weekend has kind of led to this current weekend that we're living in now, the event that we just went to yesterday. I was expecting a lot of control, and I was telling people before the event, I was like, dollars to donuts, Justin's going to win. Like, no one's going to be able to beat, like, his Sabine that consistently if everyone's on these greedy restock control decks.
Yep.
Yeah, and I
played. You forget about the boogeyman.
I played three boss. I played three box, one top, my top eight match. One was green, won all three. The top eight one was pretty close, but I think this is sort of like shows the pathway. If there's like a new deck one weekend, that the next weekend you might see a little bit more just on like the pure sort of excitement factor there. So this was, I think, two or three people played blue boss at a, you know, 30-person 1K, which is pretty big. And then, you know, one top eighted, and I think the other guy, no, two top eighted.
Mm-hmm. Two top eighted, yeah.
So, wow. You know, and yeah, so both copies of that top eighted. And it did some pretty impressive things, like, you know, the card draw bounty, Deathmark, you know, on an early play.
Yeah.
Like, pretty solid. Like, you know, you get a removal that draws cards. It's a little slow, but, you know, this was got a lot of card advantage. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Like when Bosk was released, like, I think one of the first things talked about on our release pod was like this blue Bosk deck. And then, like, you know, nothing kind of came of it. And then, you know, someone just kept putting in the work and like kind of figured out the best angle for it. So it's cool to see, like, there was something there and like this, you know, this individual, like, took it and worked on it and like found the right time to play it. You know what I mean?
Did you face this at all yesterday, Steve?
I did not. I faced the green version round one, and he had two. We went three games, kind of rushed through game three because of time, but like he had some crazy, the two games he beat me, he had some crazy starts with like the ramp card. On like my R2 and was just like ping ping. So like he like turn one bounded my R2 and basically each turn just pinged it to death while playing a resupply. And then like right. just before it was like my fifth turn and he was dropping a relentless. And
yeah, I think like, it's actually one of the worst matchups game. For Ray Blue and Ray yeah, in general. But... It's just boss green. I didn't face
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that was definitely hard.
I didn't face this yesterday, but I did talk to the guys who were playing it. It's not my favorite. It's a little slow for me. I did actually test with Phil from the Draft Hangout on Friday afternoon because he was repping it. And I was like, oh, can I get some games with it versus Ray? And it was very, very grindy.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably really good. Like, there's some things in here I really like. And I think red can help. I think the red blue actually can help battle against Sabine, but this is not. This deck is like pretending Sabine doesn't exist.
Yeah, that
which
my
is my
issue with
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put one up for the Patreon guys in the Discord, like my take on this deck after cool. it won. And I leaned in like there's no reason to. And I think my version is probably a little too blue and you still need some more of the red cards. But like in my mind, if you play this Bosk deck correctly, like I think your pillages can. And, correct, like someone's probably going to disagree, but like I think your pillages can be in the board. Like I think you can have more units
no, I completely
and,
agree.
And more blue cards yeah. and like really lean into your chills and stuff like that. Because like a similar grindy deck is like Hondo and you can beat the crap out of them with the chills and like you can still do that here. And so one of the things that we found is like, yeah, like removal spells are really good, but like when your guys do something and can like affect the board, like this game is so important to fight in the arena that just like if you're just constantly one for one-ing, like they're going to get those turns where they do two things and then you're just like, oh, well, right. okay.
Yeah. I lose.
The so, one thing
I don't like pillage.
One thing I really do like is it's got the client Avenger combo. You get that lockout and it's just impossible to lose.
Welcome to the lock. Welcome to the lock.
Welcome to the lock.
I think the card I hate the most in the main deck, even more than pillage, is the three make and openings.
I like two. Two's reasonable. It works well with your ping.
It does work well with the ping. I guess that is the concept. Okay, I can get behind that. But like, yeah. Man, that card does not pull its weight most of the time. But obviously, like when you play against Boba or whatever, it's just gas. But yeah, yeah. I'm excited to go take a look at your deck later and also see what I can do with this. With some of like my ideas behind like why we play control, which is not to be pillaging.
I'd probably play like Enticing Reward into this deck. Like, doesn't you can definitely have many bounties here, and like it just feels like that could be something that's really good too.
Yeah, I tried doing what's it called, the Quarry, because I'm like obsessed with that card. Just so you can get like a client or a Pershing, but and I think I had some other three drops in there. But yeah, enticing reward for three is completely reasonable. Like, that card is so busted. But, like, that's the beauty of it. And, like, I'm excited to see what you take with my deck is, like, I've run into other people who are the champion of a deck archetype or whatever, and they're so reluctant to have you fiddle with it. And, like, that's the complete opposite of our, like, ethos here at, like, KTD and in the Discord. It's, like, and what I say and we all say is, like, take this deck, take what you like, change it. Like, you know, Teddy just top four the 1K with Kira 30. Like, he made that deck his own. Like, all I continue to hear is, like, people doing well with, you know, some of the decks that we've pushed and putting their own spin on. It was actually funny. One guy in the Walkling like was saying his changes, and I was like, "Oh, so you're pretty close to my Kashyyyk list, to be honest, bud." So he figured it out himself too. So it's like,
take it. Especially when they come back and share, right? Someone's like, "Oh, I ran Bobby's list. I made these changes. This is how it went. This is why it's good." And like that's helpful to everyone. It's helpful even to me. Like, oh yeah, you thought about this and tested this, and now that gives me some more information. So I love that. And I never would have won as much as I did in Destiny if it wasn't like taking good decks, making them better, be it like randos online or like my teammates. I mean, the Ewok list was like my teammate Shane beating me with it in the matchup that I thought was unwinnable, and I was like, okay, I actually have to go look at this sick list. And then
the Apocalypse baby
took out all the junk and put in all the goods.
Yeah, but like, look
at the changes you made to the blue. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say the changes you made to my Gen Con Blue Ray really just put that to the next level too.
Yeah, and I think like that's just teamwork, right? Like you even said, I think if someone else worked on this, it would be really good. And I said, yeah, well, let me be the person to do that. And it's doing a lot of the things that I like. And also like being able to get games with Chrono and be like, okay, how can I actually battle against Sabine? And he's and I said, I don't remember who said it, but I woke up the next day and I was like, lightsabers, is that going to work? And then he was like, great. And then it was great. The lightsabers were sick for me yesterday.
Yeah, dude. So, and like, guess what, guys? We're all still winning. Like you guys
well,
won.
The
people on our Discord won. Like, guess what? You can help each other out, and we're all still winning. Because you know what? At the end of the day, it's like you got to play the game.
I was pretty salty yesterday.
You look pretty salty in this picture. I think you're salty about how much tequila they gave you. I've never seen so much liquor left on the table last night. They poured Steve and Zach cut neat drinks, and they were like poured all the way to the top.
They filled the glasses to the top. Matty, you remember that, like...
we don't need to talk about that night. Yep. That's right where I went in my mind. I go, I don't want to talk about that night. Yeah.
So we had our 1K. We got 29 players at Great Stories in Waynesville. Shout out to Great Stories. If you've watched any of our videos, you know that's where we play, and they've supported us a bunch. The top eight was Blue Ray, me in first place. I went 5-0. I beat Justin in the 4-0 match. Then Yame and Justin with Sabine Green were 2 and 3. And then we had a Han Yellow player, a Vader Blue player, and then Sunder from our Discord played Boss Blue as well as another guy there, and then Teddy, Kira Green. And then, so Justin, you, Yame, and the Han Yellow one, and Teddy beat me in the top four. Was 3 out of 4 people that I had to face in Swiss, so I think I had like a pretty tough way up there. What do you guys think about yesterday, Justin? I think if you guys played out the top four, I would have seen you take victory there. You did play Yame, right?
So he was the one who was hedging a little bit, really cool guy, and he just, you could tell he wanted to play it out kind of, and the three of us were kind of like, you know, it's getting late, hey, can we just chop it up and, you know, get to where this picture's from, which is, you know, dinner and some drinks. So I told him, you know, he agreed to split, and I was like, hey, you really wanted to play, huh? And he's like, yeah. So I was like, all right, why don't we play? I'll take it seriously, like as if it still has the same context it has. And he had mentioned that he's followed along with like a lot of the conversation in the chat and the Discord about like Sabine and the mirror and stuff like that, and kind of wanted to like experience it firsthand. So I did win that one as well, and it was fun. It was a good match. I thought overall Sabine was good. I tinkered with the Kashyyyk op list in the morning. I feel bad because I didn't have my computer account, so I couldn't link the deck. But that being said, the list itself was a little bit wonky. It did well. Obviously, you crushed me with the Blue Ray. In Kashyyyk Operative, I've updated it post this event, and I actually feel really, really good about that list.
You played, right? The list on the
this
screen.
This is the
right
one
now.
I played, and the wonky stuff was like the one Dodona, who should have just been the second Adelphi.
Yeah.
The one X-Wing like was just vomit-inducing. Like I felt bad because every time I drew R2, it was gas, and I was like, how did I just fade you only having one? And then Fighters for Freedom was really good in the deck overall, so I was happy about it. So some of the stuff worked out well. Some of the stuff, you know, was kind of flops, and I went back to Metal Ceremony, and it was up and down on that card. But overall, I mean, the deck, it lost one game total to non-Bobby Sapphires. Felt really strong. You know, beat a Boba Yellow round 1-2-0, which was cool, with, like, some of the lines we talked about behind the scenes. And beat Zach's Han Blue. That was a matchup I hadn't played before, but that was a good match, but it felt like really in my favor, which was nice. And it did Sabine things, continue to win with it, be aggressive, and don't have to worry about some of those end game states that you might have gotten into in your top eight match.
Hey, let me ask you this. How many, since you started playing this game, how many non Bobby Sapphire games have you lost?
So I lost one at Gen Con. And I've lost to CJ, but I haven't lost anything else.
Okay, so two.
Yeah, I lost to Eric on the very first pre-release.
Pre-releases,
that's deep.
Yeah, but I haven't lost a tournament game to anyone other than CJ, Mike, or the Krennic that came in second.
And here's the list Steve and I ran. And if you watched any of the content this week, you've seen this. So I don't want to talk about it a ton. But we did add the lightsabers in for Sabine. I thought it was going to be a big Sabine weekend. Not that it would be played the most, but that it would win the most because of the control. Right. And so I really wanted to angle lightsabers. Steve, the other day you said you were going to play a third lightsaber. On our tournament prep podcast, Steve said he was going to play a third lightsaber to tech against Justin. Did you do it, main deck?
I did. My list was, yes. My list was a little different. I played -2 redemptions, +1 lightsaber, +1 takedown.
Cool.
That makes sense.
I was all prepared for Justin. Three takedowns. I'm not going to lose to this guy. And I never got paired.
He's coming for him.
The biggest thing for me in losing in the top eight was that I couldn't deal with multiple relentlesses. Yeah. I could deal with the first one because I don't have to burn a lot of events. And you know, the Fells do a lot, like get a lot of work done. Like I can, and I bring in the other Rivals Fall and stuff. But the Force Throws did like nothing for me. In those games, unfortunately, and I had seen success with them in testing, but I need to come up with something else for Relentless. So I think I wonder if that's going to be something.
I wonder if that's like Confiscate because this color palette has, and then you have your one cost in case you need to like throw away to Relentless. So it's curious what you're going to do.
I think I would rather be on Covert Mission. What's it called?
Covert Strength or whatever.
Yeah.
Mystic Reflection.
Mystic. No. I want. So my thinking for Relentless. This is probably
the healing and
too much information for the pod. This is like, I want it to be something I can play out of the row, so that when I have to do the when I have to target the Relentless, even if I have to pay 3 for it or whatever, I can still like I can resource it early and not worry about it, and it'll be there for I have to play against the Relentless, and then go that into Rivals or that into Takedown. I mean that into Fel.
That's smart.
And I don't want it to be non-blue because I want to be able to hit it with Queel. So if it's the heal 3-1 or confiscate, it'll just go to my discard pile, which is like not what I want. So I want to be I want it to be blue. So I think the leader in my clubhouse right now is Covert.
I've been playing that card, Covert Strength, in the Hondo deck, and like when I don't have it, I'm like sad. That card is, I mean, granted it does more than Hondo, but like still, like that card is sneaky good.
Yeah, good so technology. I've gotta figure it out. I think
that's wicked smart.
I think everything else is tight and good, but yeah, that's how deep I'm going on like how do I deal with the Relentless. And if anyone else has ideas on how to deal with Relentless, I'd love to hear those too. You know, maybe I want to do Frozen and Carbonite for 7 or something. Who knows? Because it's just the fact that it attacks me and then like has a barrage for 10. Like I was winning. I really thought I was going to win both of those post-board games, but like a barrage for 10 took out 3 guys.
Right.
And I was like,
that's the problem with entrenching it. It's right. They can just use it as a barrage stick.
What were you going to say, Steve?
I was going to say the most success I've had against Relentless. First, let me echo the sentiment that I really didn't like the Force Throws at Gen Con. So I agree with you there in that regard. But for the most part, my main plan with that is just getting a little rinky-dink ship up there and using Luke. I guess Boss yesterday, I was able to claim, then next turn, play Luke to make it a 2-2. So he had like nothing he could really do, and then my X-Wing just killed him. I think
that's cool.
I think you can afford to burn an event to get in a fell for like one of them, and then you got to try to maneuver the second one with Luke. And if they play three, well, you just got to hope and pray at that point.
Yeah, I was certainly trying. It just didn't work out for me.
Did you ever do like the event first thing?
Yeah, I did. I would burn a takedown because I don't really need takedown. So I don't have that many events, so I was making sure not to resource them in that matchup either.
No, but like not burn, like play it, a claim on the turns going into it, play it, and then the second one works right away if it's fell.
I didn't do that. I never had an opportunity. Right, I just never. He had so many Star Destroyers that I couldn't necessarily be like, oh, he's definitely playing Relentless here, you know? Because, like, if it's Avenger, I've got to attack first. And if it's Devastator, I've got to attack first. So, or shield up. So it's tough. It's definitely good tech against this deck. And I'm going to continue to work on it. Yeah, it's a good
point to get it in first.
Yep. All right. And then there was a slew of other 1Ks yesterday. Oh, I ended up screwing this up when I was trying to shrink it. But all types of 1Ks and store showdowns, and it's just there's so many events right now. It's a really good time to be playing competitive Star Wars Unlimited. So, you know, I think there were like five or six in America, and I didn't even get any. I guess there's some international showdowns here, but yeah, just tons of events right now, and PQ's starting in a couple weeks.
Is that a Gar yellow in the top eight on the one that's cut off?
Yes, that is a Gar yellow.
Bo-Katan blue in the bottom left. 3-3 still, but still.
That's dirty.
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time. Like, I think that anything can be decent. Like, you just have to get the reps and know how to play. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure a ton of people looked at that. A ton of people did comment, like, blue Ray isn't good, or it's just fine. It's not that great. And, like, I think it's legitimately really good. And I think it helps that, like, I have a ton of reps on it. And I'm sure there are a lot. And we know Gar Yellow has potential because, Maddie, you were on that early and it was really strong. And I think, like, the Tarkin Blue that got played by Nick in PA yesterday, like, I know it was a small event, but, like, like if I'm just thinking about Tarkin Blue, like, that sounds like it could be pretty good.
Tarkin Blue really impressed me at Gen Con.
Someone played one yesterday too.
I think the deck is definitely
It seems really that's smart.
Especially like if you that's like the best time to play something off the wall is when there's freaking, you know, 30 or under players, because they're definitely not going to see it coming. They're all going to be worried about other stuff. So that's the time to play like an obscure deck that people don't are looking at your cards and not know what they're doing, because you're just going to hit them.
And remember that, table that thought, because that leads into directly what one of our listener questions is today.
Cool.
Just a lot of Han, a lot of meta stuff, but it's diverse, right? There's like nothing, you don't see anything that's like, oh, the whole list is this deck, you know?
Yeah.
It's like some Hans, some Bobas, some Greens. I think the biggest surprise from this slide is like very few Kiras, maybe one here. I think that speaks to how hard that deck is to play.
It's hard. I mean, it top forward your guys, and then it topped another one.
Yeah, I think Palp Yellow beating Sabine would be a surprise to some, but I think that color spike for Palp is actually the one that's the best against Sabine.
Where's that one? I actually have been playing a bunch of Palp Yellow. You know, I got off of it a little bit this week to work on the 1K, but I was doing Palp Yellow when I saw the Boba Green that won Europe the 54 card deck and the McClunky start
as Palp.
Exactly. Right. My thought was like, oh, what if we put this in Palp? Like, that seems like a great start for Palp. And I got run over by a bunch of Spines, but anytime I could get the Bazine, Greedo, or Salacious plus McClunky start, I won those games. And so, like, if you mull for them and you hit, like, you can win that matchup. It's not that bad when you get the McClunky start, but it obviously isn't super easy. It's just, it's winnable is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do like that deck. And when I was rebuilding all my standard decks the other night, I almost took it apart, but I decided to keep it together because I do still like it. And then there was one event, another 1K in Virginia that had 24 players that was won by Kira. Of course, I just said that on the previous slide. I forget this was the next slide. But we had all the deck lists get posted this morning, so I figured I'd post this. This is cool because it's a Kira with three timelies. And I think, like, Wu mentioned this morning too, but I'm like, if I'm timely, I want reinforcement walker, man.
Yeah.
I lost yesterday because of a reinforcement walker that I just couldn't deal with, and he healed 9 and then decided to draw the other one. And
that card's underplayed right now.
It's completely underplayed, and I think it's great, and I think it would be an excellent addition to this version right here.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, like, I used to love playing, and I think there's like a deck there. Like, I used to love playing freaking Piet with reinforcement walker. I still think that like is such an insane
absolutely.
combo. And, like,
it's
got a big juicy butt. It eats either card advantage or it heals. If you can ever do it for, you know, two, like you said, with the timely, like I've been trying to find ways to fit it into Kira 30. It's just with
that was my next question for you is just like, do you like this list better as a 30? Do you need to play Childson if you do the timely and reinforcement 30? Because you could just play the other things and rely on the ambush for later in the game. I also don't know if I would ever play three timelies in addition to ECL. It's probably a two of for me.
Yeah, I'd probably play it too either way. I think if you're going to go no Chilton, you need to play like your phase. You probably need like three phase and maybe even one cell block guard to just be like, all right, I'm going to chain Sentinels until I can get a little later. My issue with playing, like, I don't know if I want to play Gideon Hask on 4 because like one of the most popular are on 6, like to not ECL it to timely it is like one of the best lines with this deck is to, you can ramp and then you can ECL it like right away. And then your turn matches up well. Mm-hmm. So just paying an extra one, you know, to do it with him when you don't have an ECL, like in a 30 point is tough. So if I was playing 30 point, I don't necessarily know if I'd want the Gideons, although like a sneaky ruck is probably really good against all these blue Hans. That card's traditionally been good against blue hero.
Yeah. I might
I like the ideas here, especially one Palpatine.
Yeah, I might max the Lompikes or find another 4-drop as well if I was going to do the 30 point and really rely on timely, because Lompike is an excellent timely target as well that only costs 4. So, and we could potentially find others in blue-green that are just
isn't really it just trying to like timely Death Trooper, right?
Yeah, that's a great line.
I imagine that's a big draw here.
I think Avenger 2, I think Devastator 2.
Yeah, but like I don't think you're doing like long. I think it's trying to do that on 3, and then it probably it probably has it because you look, it's got a lot of 3s. You've got the Source Shame in there, so I'd imagine that you're, and then you're also, you can timely Super Laser Tech, put some damage and stuff like that, which then you can finish the job with Kira. Mm-hmm. Well, it wouldn't be the damage, but you get what I mean on that, and then. I imagine that it's sort of trying to do that, and then if you see the Gideon and Ruck, it's probably doing that or Lom Pike with the ECL,
right.
Like kind of snowballing it. And then you've got your other timelies for like the end game with Avenger and so forth.
Yeah, I like the idea of two timelies with this ECL and getting Walker into the mix here. I think that's where I would start. If I was to do it with 30 point, I'd probably have to finagle some things around.
This is cool though.
Yeah,
it's already got the wheels turning for what I want to work on. Another a version of 30 right now.
This top 8 is crazy. 2 Kira ECLs, a Krennic ECL, and 5 Bobas. 4 That's yellow and a green.
Gross.
Like,
dude,
no,
I
wonder.
Think Krennic is still good. Like,
yeah, he's
I've fine. Been thinking a lot about Krennic. It's just Kira's ability so cracked, but like I also like a version, yeah, like I said with Piet. I think that is sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, he's a timely, right? Like, he's his own timely. Like, that's just a different slot that's doing the same thing and how you want to play it. You just have to have it on board first. And he doesn't work with the low drops like Justin was saying.
Yeah, you would just, like, Vader, and, like, you could bring back your Snowtrooper Lieutenant so you can pump him. So, like, you can pump your Piet, and then, like, if you're playing Krennic, now your Piet is, say it took 3 damage and it killed, or 2 damage and took a Sabine, now it is an extra attack because it's... You know, with Krennic, like there's things you can do. I think there's a 30 point Krennic with Piet in the mix, like that you could play.
Did the Gen Con guy have Piet?
I never played against it. I have no clue.
No, I don't think so.
But I'm also like Piet is kind of like one of my favorite cards. So maybe I'm just biased.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Speaking of favorite cards.
Yeah, let's talk about some spoilers, some set 3 spoilers. This, looking at the Obi-Wan art a little bit bigger, like the head totally looks photoshopped on. that's such a weird photo. These are two of the leaders we singled out as, to talk about. Maddie, you really like Dooku.
Yeah, I think Dooku has so much potential. Obviously, it's going to lie in what Separatists can do, but like Dooku for me is everything that Jabba isn't. Jabba, the way action economy works in the game, you can't really set it up the way you want, whereas Dooku like just immediately does the thing. Like you use his action and you get the guy at discounted rate. And I think another thing that I've been harping on that I think is really interesting is when you exploit for one, you cancel out an aspect penalty. So like the idea that you could have something that would cost two extra normally, if you just exploit it, then you get to pay the normal cost. So like you can create things that when defeated, or they create tokens, and then like I could play, you know, blue, green villain, but I could play Palps, and like, yeah, I'm paying, what is it, 10? But like I'm not, because like I'm exploiting. So like it kind of can even it out. And then if you get the exploit 3, that can be kind of crazy. So I think there's some crazy stuff you can do, especially with like Palps Return, kind of like your Casino Han deck. You could get a little crazy there, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if battle droids are even halfway decent as like a strategy, or I mean, just green guys that stay on table, like even more so than Palp, you have to kill Dooku's guys, because exploit being -2, that like ramping for 2 with your leader is absolutely nuts.
Wait, like, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
We're going to have to edit a little bit. The Separatists, they have to be Separatists. So you can't do like Palp. You'd have to do something else.
Yeah, no.
You play out of aspect Separatists, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm saying like in Palp decks where you have to continually be killing their guys. Like the card you play has to be Separatist, but the card you're exploiting does not. So like,
yeah, I messed that up though. I said like you could cheat out a Palp. You can't do that. Like the Palp's not Separatist.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I'm not sure how to edit that. We might have to just not edit it.
No, whatever. It's fine.
But like the blue Dooku is Separatist, right? So like you can play that guy for 5. Like that is insane. Just at the cost of like an SLT or a battle droid or something that like is about to die or not worth it to get a 5/4 shielded. Like, and who, you know, obviously there's got to be Andy defeat something, right? So you're just getting insane value. Yeah. And
how's I have timing to look at, work with SLT.
You wouldn't be able to pay for it. You wouldn't be able to pay it. But you would still have one up for something else, which is cool. Which could come into play. I don't know who's a Separatist and who's not off the top of my head. But I don't know. If they make even some halfway decent high-cost Separatists, like, it's going to be stupid. Yeah. Like, absolutely stupid. Just think about how good our guy, like, Han 2, Boba Fett, who are just giving us one resource, like, getting 2. Or potentially 6 when he's flipped is just ridiculous.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think in general. Sorry, go ahead, Justin.
No, I think he's interesting. I think he joins a pretty big list of like top end villain leaders like Vader and Palp and stuff like that. And we saw like Jabba gave us some like, you know, we were excited about Jabba initially, and then it was kind of haven't seen him really crack in too much. But, you know, anything that lets you play cards cheaper is generally really good.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo everyone else's sentiments. You know, I think we've seen the most success from decks in this game so far that manipulate your resources and let you get ahead in that way. So I think he'll probably just somewhere fall in that playable category at the top of the end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and we'll just see what Separatist guys come out. He's going to be great in the cube. In the set 3/4 cube.
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to be sick. Sure. All the leaders in the cube. Yeah.
All right. And Justin, you like Obi.
Yeah, I really like Obi for a couple of reasons. One is that, I think the Obi unit from set 1, the Sentinel, like a lot of people have talked about like win rates going up when you hit that Sentinel right away. And this kind of always gives you that similar ability, and then he's got the healing along with the damage. If you think about it, you want to combine that with like Tarkin Town or even something like a force throw because he's force. And then like I also wondered what happens if you combine him, like if you just play a bunch of removal spells and then you always do him and another big sentinel. So you've got Obi, obviously you've got the Mandalorian, and if you were Vigilance, you could Childston for 6 as well. And you'd have the ability to always have just two guys out. So, like, they would kill one, and then they would basically have to kill him, because if they attacked into the other, then...
You're just going to heal
him. He's healing, yeah. And then and he's also damage. Really big, and he's four, so you put, like, a lightsaber on him, you just, like, you know, buff him a couple of ways. What's the four-cost card that puts a shield and, like, removes a guy, too? The plus two force is with me card. Yeah. And I just thought, like, this is pretty proactive at that stage. Mm-hmm. And it's like a different angle. Like, Rey's got the healing and like the counters, and then Chirrut's got his whole thing. But this is like, okay, you're building off Sentinel in a way that like Chewie never really, you couldn't really get to, because
yeah.
It was just like a turn later. It's like so big, mm-hmm. But like six is like a pretty important turn. And I just thought like this guy's good. I mean, he's still got some issues with like, you know, Wrecker and stuff like that, but, I'm really interested in just always having the Sentinel ability. It seems really, really good to me. Because it's he's very similar to the OB unit.
Yeah.
He's great. And you always have OB.
Yeah. I would have liked to see him be a 4-8. I mean, not to like redesign the car, but like I would have liked his stats to be pushed a little bit more for such like an iconic character. I do like the idea that as he got older, he has less resilience, like less health. So OB, like the old OB is the same stat, but like same power, six. But different health.
That's kind of
yeah, that's pretty good.
But yeah, I like it. I just want a few more push leaders. Like I just want push leaders to hang with the ones that we know are already super good. So like, I would like to see that.
Yeah, I think set ones, 4 and 5 cost leaders are just so strong that like six, like you have to do a lot on six. So maybe Obi's the one that makes it worth it. But so far, like we've seen 6 cost leaders just like not do enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious on their unit side.
Right. Yeah. This guy having Sentinel does make it pushes a little more interesting.
Yeah. That part is cool.
All right. A couple more cards to talk about. One of the ones that we want to, shout out is this droid manufactory. When you deploy your leader, create 2 battle droid tokens, the new insane green base that has 24 HP.
Yeah, and that card's really, really good.
24. Yeah, I think it's cool.
Really, really good. Obviously great with exploit. Yeah, like that would exploit. Seems pretty busted.
Definitely the exploit base. I wonder, is it like 24 and a 7 cost leader? That is to me a little scary. So like, is it Dooku or is it like more of an aggro thing? But I mean, if you get your exploit going, you know, you could get pretty crazy. I think it's going to be like, I think there's going to be a pretty fast kind of aggro strategy coming out.
With spicy with Kylo, like really spicy with Kylo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I love that.
Good call.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. Kylo
because he doesn't care about having.
And then he's able to pump those guys if he dies, and you just like flood, and you want to be flooding anyway. That's
yeah. Really I played cool. against a mono red Kylo yesterday in the game. He won game 2, close. And he had like 7 guys out on. He had like all those one drops.
Yep,
and he just flooded his whole board. Yeah. And I was just like, and they all have Saboteur, so I couldn't even.
Yeah.
I couldn't even play my Sentinels. So I was just like, oh, I just still take 20 here.
Arming run stonks.
Yeah,
way up again.
So Arming run is going to be big like next.
50 some of them.
Some other amazing cards. I mean, I think R2 is like one of the better cards that we'll ever see.
I think he's insane. I'd play him in Green Sabine right now. I played 2 copies
for 4. Yeah,
I because of what he does, you're able to get your Poe record then, and he's also just very reasonable as a 2/4. Like, I mean, think about it, Bright Hope's a 2/6. I mean, he's absolutely insane.
Yeah, look at the top 3.
I want to make draw a sweet card. Blue yellow, make a sweet blue yellow Ray where it's like turn 1 R2, turn 2 R2. Oh,
he's going to be something to build around. I think on top of things is very, very good.
I mean, how about just like, we're mulliganing for R2 plus lightsaber. Like, okay, here it is. You get R2 plus lightsaber. Like, you can find whatever. I think on top of things is really cool. Attached a unit can't be attacked this phase, so like you can start a turn like that. You can put it on your leader.
Really with Jabba.
Yep, really interesting way to like protect a unit and get some power, and it's a trick.
Yeah, now you can play like realistically play 12 tricks in yellow Jabba decks. I think that card, like if that card, I would have been on CAD. I have Jabba in my CAD with nine tricks. I think that card is, and I'm, you know, looking at Blaster and Pump. I mean, think about, like, you could theoretically Jabba into that and then play it on Jabba. They can't kill it. And then just, you have a, and then Blaster, and you have a 6/8 that can't be attacked.
Yeah.
That turn, like, and then, like, the next turn you
play another one, yeah.
Both those cards are going into my Mando deck. That's all I'm saying. My two-cost Mando deck with C-3PO calling all the twos out. I like.
Yeah, that's perfect. That yeah, that deck is a lot better there.
Yeah.
Maddie, you like Masameda.
Yeah, I just think it's really, like, I think that this game, in a way, is kind of missing some of these, like, dig and card advantage. Like, at, you know, like, when I played a bunch of Pokemon in between sets, like, I was, like, so impressed at how it, to a completely different degree, that you could filter and kind of, like, build consistency in your deck. And so, like, seeing R2 and seeing Moss and, like, kind of eking, like, going from, like, set one, which was, like, a really strong kind of, like, block format, to, like, it's growing in set two. Like, three to me feels like a culmination of deck building where you can start getting things tuned and, like, hitting the same plays consistently, which is some of the most fun I have playing card games. So, like, to see Moss in and he's an official, so it works in Palp, but also, like,
he's insane in Palp green.
In some of the Republic things we're seeing, where you can, like, fish a Republic card or whatever, like, you know, there's just, yeah, I just like cards like this. I think they make deck building fun, and you can really line. If you find a play that you want to hit, you can, like, always hit it, which I think is cool, because, like, for the guys that like to find lines, stuff like this is like their juice, you know?
Mm-hmm. I really like Obi-Wan's Aether Sprite. I think it's really cool that it's, like, Death Trooper for space and hero. And the when played, and yeah, and it's a Jedi, which is, like, really, it's really sick. Cool. You know, Obi-Wan leader can heal it. Yep, it's got the perfect 4/6 stat line. Steve's absolutely right on that. Mm-hmm. It dodges all the removal, take down and fell the dragon, which is sick. Mm-hmm. I guess it doesn't dodge takedown because it takes a damage itself. But you can heal it with Obi-Wan leader if you're doing that.
It's May, though.
Yep, it's May, which is perfect. And then, you know, you could just also be killing things like Black Sun Starfighter, or, like, finishing something off with ECL. It can actually kill a Fire Spray, which is, like, some thematic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, cool. All in all, I just think it's strong.
I want to see what other Jedi... Like, we had the Jedi, we have the Jedi, like, the saber, if it's on a Jedi, they cost less. So, like, I'm curious what other Jedi cards we're going to have, because it's obviously different than Force, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love Trait Hunt. Like, I just love looking at all these traits and trying to figure out what they've got going on.
Yeah.
I really love calculating Magna Guard as a design. I wanted to shout out for design. I think, like, a 3/4 comes into play, it's a Sentinel, is also really good. But when played and when a friendly unit is defeated against Sentinel, so, like, it behooves you to attack it first, which, like, is thematically really cool for the Magna Guards, being, like, the guards of Grievous. Like, he sits back, refuses to fight, and these guys fight for him. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a really cool way to nudge the players to do the thematic thing, rather than just the thematic thing is only in the way, the mechanic of the card, like, right, with on top of things and with Obi-Wan Aether Sprite. Like, you have to make a decision to do it thematically is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
All right. We've got some subscriber questions. We're up to 1,111 subscribers. I think it's only plus one since last time, but, like, we definitely saw some fluctuation for a couple weeks. Oh, I also wanted to put up here, but I forgot. Last time on the podcast, we launched two new tiers. That playtesting tier, we had to expand to 56 players, and now it's at 54 out of 56. And I don't think we have any plans to expand it. So I think, like, that worked out really well, being exactly what we want. And then we're almost at 6K. We hit 5K right before Gen Con, and we're almost up to 6K now. So hopefully we can get another 130 soon to get 6K, maybe before PAX Unplugged. This is a question that's been answered a bunch of times in various places, but I also thought it might be good to, like, you know, if you're just learning about us or you're new to the K2D scene, why am I Bobby Sapphire? Why are you guys your names? My story is just, like, my name's Mike Gem, and someone tried to make fun of me in college and say, like, oh, like, Bobby Sapphire. And I actually thought that name was sick. And I was like, yeah, that's actually cooler. I'm going to use that. And I've used it ever since.
Yeah, mine was in 1997. I was a BNBL All-Star for Boston with the Basketball Summer League, the big one in Boston, and it's was like the year before I like had to make my very first like email accounts on like at AOL. So this was like I don't really know how to do it, and the Z was put in there because All-Star 97 was taken, All-Star 1997 was taken, and I was like, I don't know what to do, and I just put a Z in there, and then that became like my AOL screen name, so that's why I'm that one.
I'm just Maddie, baby.
It's just who you are. You
Yeah.
do have like a million nick. You cycle through nicknames like
Marty.
no one else.
Marty.
Hot Nuts,
Well,
Joey
yeah.
Wheeler.
Joey Wheeler was my old alias. I've had a lot of them. Well, when your name's Matt, like you kind of want to differentiate yourself, and then I've just always been like someone people, outside of sports, which would always be like Jem, it was always like just someone people just always gave me nicknames, so I just kind of ran with it.
Mike, our lesser name known names to this community would be Deck 104 and H2O, respectively. Coming from like, I mean, it's like late 90s, you're trying to figure out your like online name, and it says like create an account, and you're like, I don't know what to do. I remember just putting in H2O because I just literally was like, what could I do? It's just like random, and that's like what 17-year-old Justin thought to
Yeah.
do.
Well, Deck 104 was, we used to go over this girl Lauren's house in our street and prank call people, me, Lauren, and like the other kids on the street. And I would prank call people, and I would say my name is Deck, and they'd say Deck, and I'd be like, yeah, it's like a porch, only higher. That was my
That's pretty
joke. And
good.
then 104 was
Nice.
the New England swim time for the 100 breaststroke, which is why it was Deck
Yeah,
104.
random things just get pieced together.
That's pretty insane. It's like a Porsche but higher. That's cool.
My first best joke. Stevie, why are you Stevie Getz?
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Yep, no problem.
Stevie's been hustling for a while.
All right, Lev asks, do you think there's value in playing a technically weaker deck that is not well known to the player base? To illustrate what I mean, consider there's a meta deck that is a 50-50 matchup in everything, but since it's so popular, everyone knows what its cards and lines deck plays. Now there's also a deck that is a 48-52 matchup into everything, making it objectively worse, but it is rarely played, meaning many players won't be aware of how all the cards and lines they need to expect. Assuming you have mastery of both these decks, can the rogue factor offset the technical weakness of the second deck?
Lev, August 26, 2024, on the main channel, we dropped Star Wars Unlimited Tournament Deck Selection 101.
Now, that's a
Check it
great
out.
question, though,
No, it is
to
a great
circle back
question.
with. I think with these margins, the mystery deck does have value.
100%.
I think that marginal, there's a break even point, there's like an equilibrium. And obviously, if it was this close, you'd go with the because there is a value of the surprise factor, which is more than like 2 percentage points, I guess, is what I'm getting to. I don't think it's super wide, though. You can if you've got like a way to attack. And now again, I think we mentioned this before, maybe in that video, Maddie, which is like the golden moment of your card careers is when you've got the hidden deck that is the best stack, and then it's like you're probably going to win the tournament. But I think in general, the margins are usually wider. Like the best deck actually is better than like the separate deck. So I actually tend to go with the meta deck being better. And like evidenced yesterday by like Sabine is better than Cad. And I played Sabine and I won, or I top fored into the thing, whatever, into the split. I don't think the value I got off of like the surprise of Cad would have been all that great. The surprise deck has to actually be good.
Yeah. And I would also say
I
that,
like
like,
the
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I like what Justin's saying, but I also like what he's been doing with Sabine. Like, we all know he's playing Sabine every week, but his list is always changed up by like five or six cards. So there, he's incorporating a little bit of that surprise factor into the deck that he already knows is the best deck.
Yeah, and also he's playing a
That's a
meta
good
deck,
point.
and like one of the important things is like if you're gonna play that meta deck, you have to know the mirror. And like one of the things for me is like if I can't figure out that mirror, I don't have it cracked, like I might
That's a
take the
great
other
point.
deck because I don't feel comfortable in the mirror. And I think that's like another strength of Justin's, like studying the mirror and knowing how to win the mirror.
Right. Yeah, I felt
Yeah.
very confident in that top four game
Right.
that we played.
I think, yeah, I think that's such a good point. Like, I tend to try to be a little more obscure because, for me, like going to this, going into the complete, like, mirror match, like lines, is not like where I always want to be unless I feel like insane on a deck. So like I like playing Kira. I think it's really good, but I'll always change a couple cards like depending on the meta I expect and how to fight those things. But like I probably would have played Hondo yesterday if I went, because it fights a similar style that I'm trying to do, but people don't play against it and they don't know what to do. So like, yeah, like my Sabine matchup should maybe be like 45% to 48%, but I feel like against non-Justin, I would have been favored just because I know those lines, because like I have it in my sights where they don't have my deck in their sights. So yeah. I was either going to play Hondo or like three main deck Pershings and main deck Relentless.
Yeah, it also lets you sidestep the mirror too. Like it lets you be on the same wavelength as the deck that you want to play, but also wins the quote unquote blue green mirror a lot of the time, which is good. I think the other thing for me is like, I'm never afraid to build my own deck and take it and think that I can build a good deck. I think that's like kind of how I made a name for myself in Destiny, playing things that like no one had ever played before and never even considered, and playing like Rey Ayla together, playing Qui-Gon Ayla together, and being like, yeah, yes, this is good, and yes, I am going to take it. And I felt a little bit of that with the blue Rey this week. You know, like I think a lot of people don't respect it or think it is what it is, and I think Steve was totally onto something. And I also think people play against it and they think it's a slow grindy deck and are surprised when I'm actually winning games on 7 and 8 resources.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room in this game
for sure
to play things.
And it's about to get way bigger with 18 more leaders. Yeah.
And the bases, man. Yep.
Like bases are gonna open things up.
Things almost even more. Yeah.
All right, question from Mephisto. This is one last week I meant to include, but we added a new podcast for Patreon subscribers, and we did a free preview podcast. I think Justin talked about this, showing up with more than 60 cards and making a game time decision what to slot in. Sometimes you could even show up with multiple decks and make a game time decision. Do you have any hints for reading the room to make the decision, especially where you may not know a lot of the players? Interesting yesterday, because a lot of people were playing before the event, and someone said like, oh, a lot of boba here, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of boba here. I didn't think that a lot of us were playing boba.
And I thought Justin brought up a really good point earlier with like, what's the new hot deck? It was Bossk. You saw 10% of the field or whatever was Bossk. So like one tip that I would say is like, what, like paying attention to like, you know, what's happening and like expecting something that does well to like kind of get a little bit of moment of popularity, kind of like we saw with like Han Blue. Like it did well, and then all of a sudden like everyone was playing it, you know what I mean? You kind of like, it's like following the fashion of the week or
the
something.
Tides. Yeah.
I think that's a good way to do it.
I kind of did this yesterday. It wasn't like I looked at like what decks people were playing and was like, I'm gonna do this, but I got there and it seemed like a lot of people were, you know, just happy guys playing cards. I didn't see like that much like shark energy, so my mind went to like get him dead quick. So I just wanted to go a little bit lower. So I added 2 more 3-drops with the Fighters for Freedom. I took out Timelies and I played Tadana, who was hot garbage all day. but like the concept was, hey, I want to just like always curve out on 1, 2, 3, put people in stress positions and win games from that standing. That was like my mindset of like, hey, let's put people into these situations where it's like, oh man, I'm trying to play these bombs, these Avengers or what have you, and I'm just able to get underneath it. I don't think it always works. I think if this was a different context of tournaments, like Worlds or something, you'd probably want to have a little more nuance to all your like deck decisions. You wouldn't want to do that. You maybe want to go with like 49 and then change your last card, or I guess in some people's cases, 53. But, you know, just kind of like one card. I went with like, you know, 3 or 4 cards, which obviously I wouldn't do at a larger, more meaningful event.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it for us. I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to shout out before we get going. This is a crisp 105, which is where I like it.
Shout out to Jemmings in the Discord. Wanted to support us and sent us, boys, I have some for you, sent us some coffee from the Methodical Coffee Company.
Let's go.
Yeah, gave us some cool things. Oh, my hat that I'm wearing right now is from that in honor of his support. Yeah, like it's cool. He wanted to do something nice for us, and like I tried the coffee this morning. It's insane. So just thanks, dude. Appreciate it. It's cool that people share their hobbies with us. Yeah, he's got all sorts of stuff, man. Like, it's got all the tasting notes, like full dark chocolate almond butter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
I'm excited to get some coffee. That's great.
Yeah, I promised I'd share it, but I didn't want to.
And just shout out to all our supporters. I've already, these are all the labels I printed this morning. I got about 40 more labels to print. I'm sending out a box of stuff to all the guys in Europe going to Spiel Essen for the big gaming convention there. So if you're going to, you're not going to hear this in time, but if you're going to Spiel Essen, hopefully you fill out the form and I'm sending you your gear. And just tons of swag going out into the world to check out the coins.
Yeah, I think back-to-back community events in the last 2 weekends, good energy happens to that if you're relatively local. A couple guys drove a couple hours to get there and I think enjoyed themselves. So the next time we do that, we got 1K on the 28th coming up. And then PQs, Mike, you and you've got a bunch. And Maddie, you're going
Albany,
to Albany too. Yeah, so
I'd love to win Jersey so I don't have to go to Albany, or I can go stream it.
You gotta go, dude. You're gonna make me go all by myself.
No, I just mean like I'll go still. I just won't play if I already have if I win Jersey and already have the invite, I'll just go hang. But I'll try and stream it. I'll see if they'll let me stream.
I just wanted to road trip.
Yeah, I'm going to stream with
it. Nice. Cool. That means we can buy a laptop.
Woo-hoo. Charge it.
I've got my bag ready for the trip.
Oh shoot.
Wait,
did those come
in the shirt?
Wait, did those come yesterday?
Like when I got home, it was literally
show the new shirt.
Yeah, show the new shirt,
the new
too.
Swag, and it's Steve. You as a workout guy, it's like got the fit that makes you look ripped, even when you're not ripped.
Oh, I like it.
We're all gonna look ripped, and then
show the bag one more time. Oh
back
my
to
god,
school. It like stands up. Hold on,
back
it literally
to school,
just stands
please.
Up like on its own.
Let's go, school bag.
But yeah,
after school, got any trades?
Got any trades? No one will trade with me. I have so many trades. All right, boys. Good hang and GGs. And we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Booyah.
Sounds good.
Later.
Later, boys.